Words from the Gospel reading for today, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. May your words only be spoken. May your words only be heard. My sisters and brothers in Christ, we reflect on today's reading in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. On this fourth and final Sunday in Advent, we are getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, who came to save us from the power of sin and death. And here at St. George and Young, one visible sign of our readiness is the decoration of the Christmas tree, which will take place after the 10:30 service. So if you are able, please stay around and help us to do that. The Sunday school will be involved, and we'll make it a family affair. But generally, when we think of the birth of Jesus, our focus is on Mary, the Virgin, who was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. But in today's gospel, Matthew's account provides some insight into the role of Joseph, who welcomed the divine child into the family of David, and who obediently gave the child the name of Jesus as he carefully followed the instructions of God's messenger. Now, there's a genealogy that precedes the reading, today's gospel reading, and it's at the beginning of the book of Matthew. And I don't know about you, but in my formative years of reading the Bible, reading genealogies, that wasn't really too exciting, especially as most of the names could not be pronounced with any certainty. And so I think you'd agree with me that genealogies, really, just reading them, that's really not too exciting. But the genealogy places Joseph as a descendant of David. And so Joseph brought Jesus into the house of David, not by flesh, but rather through his obedience to God's will. But for many of us today, the natural thing is for us to find out a bit about our background, a bit about our roots, because this would reveal to us something about ourselves. Now, I grew up in the Caribbean, and for those of you who haven't yet figured that out by the way I speak the Queen's English, you would know that in some countries of the world, the church records are quite often more accurate than the government records. And certainly in the part of the Caribbean where I grew up, quite often the church records and the cemeteries were actually very reliable sources of genealogy, very reliable sources. And I must say that over time, you'd see people going through the cemeteries, people visiting the island, partly because of the colonial history, coming back to see where parents were buried, where grandparents were buried, and actually checking on the history through the records of the church. Now, on my father's side of the family, one of my cousins already did the research, and so that is all listed. But on my mother's side of the family, it's still a work in progress. But this search for identity could be even more complex for people who have been adopted, perhaps, or perhaps displaced through war or other circumstances. And my particular genealogy went back to the days of, on my father's side, went back to the days of slavery. And before that, well, during slavery, of course, not a lot of records were kept to any accurate detail. However, the genealogy causes people, or is one way of having people search for their identity. And the genealogy of Jesus goes beyond biological connections to emphasize God's purpose in sending his son to save humanity. But from the reading today, we are aware that Joseph had a major problem. He had quite a dilemma. Joseph was engaged to Mary. And during that time, he discovered that Mary was pregnant. And he knew it was not his baby. From the Caribbean comes a cultural musical tradition called the calypso. Has anybody here ever heard a calypso? Now, the authentic calypso has always been a form of social commentary. And just about the time that I was learning a little about the ways of the world, a calypso became very popular, and it was called Shame and Scandal in the Family. Shame and Scandal in the Family. And in fact, it was so popular across the Caribbean that it was translated into all of the languages that are spoken in the Caribbean. It was translated in French. It was translated into Dutch. And so one year, as I was passing through the island of Guadeloupe, a friend of mine took me to the carnival. And in the midst of the carnival, people were singing, "Oh, mama, quel scandale, si papa savait ça." And in summary, what it meant is that, there would be some surprises when we look at genealogy, when we look at situations that might have happened in the family. And for many, they are skeletons in the closets of our families. And perhaps many of us do not really want to look at our genealogy because we might not want to come face to face with those situations for which we are not quite proud. Now, I speak of the calypso as a social commentary, and that I'm sure that in many traditions, there are such forms of social commentaries. But social commentaries are very useful because it brings to the fore issues which are often not discussed. To the extent that this calypso, Shame and Scandal in the Family, stimulated discussion about marital relations, and this remains an issue in our society today. Now, I should tell you that after the 8 o'clock service, one gentleman came up to me and he said, "You know, Leonard, my children used to sing that calypso, and I am sure that they did not know what they were singing about." And quite often that's the case. Nevertheless, let us picture ourselves in a situation, picture yourself in a situation where you're fairly certain that your beloved has been unfaithful. And for those who look at television shows, you would be aware that there are still television shows which feature broken relationships. But how would you feel? What would you do if you're faced with infidelity in your relationship with a loved one? How would you like to be in Joseph's position? How do you think Joseph must have felt when he found out that his fiancée was pregnant with someone else's baby? What words would you describe Joseph at this point. My guess is that that Joseph was in shock. How else would you say, what other words would you use to describe how Joseph might have felt at this point? Disappointment? Angry. Yes, he must have been angry, must have displayed some anger. Imagine waiting, as we are told to do, patiently for the moment. And now he is disappointed. He's angry. What else? Embarrassed. Of course. Of course. How is he going to face his buddies? Are you kidding me? What else? Afraid. Betrayed. In my case, I would have been jealous. I've been married for 45 years, but I'm still jealous. What else? We don't want to admit it, but it's... Yes, what else? How else? Bearing a burden. That's right. Bearing a burden. At the other service, someone mentioned the word uncertainty. And certainly, that could be one of the emotions that Joseph might have experienced. But Joseph was a reputable individual. And as he was planning to dismiss Mary quietly, and just as he was about to take action, he heard from God through an angel in a dream. And the words went something like this: "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." The child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And as a model for our own lives, it is important to look at how Joseph responded. First of all, Joseph listened carefully to what the angel had to say. And this is important advice for us. As messages from God come through different people and through different circumstances, sometimes through spiritual direction, sometimes through our mentors, sometimes through our loved ones and others. So first of all, Joseph listened. Secondly, he placed his trust in God's plan. And this is often difficult, as we sometimes see no way out of difficult circumstances. Or as we say proverbially, we see no light at the end of the tunnel. So first of all, Joseph listened. Secondly, Joseph trusted. And thirdly, he obeyed and did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He was courageous. And I've heard one definition of courage, which goes something like this: courage is not the absence of fear. It is acting on the premise that there is something much more important than fear. So we can act, although we are afraid. Joseph acted in faith, and such deep faith takes us into a deeper relationship with God. Now, our journey through Advent is into the home stretch. It is the final lap before Christmas. And we now have the two-minute warning. So if you're in a football game, you know that 2-minute warning is very important, because you have 2 minutes to score the touchdown and to get away with the Super Bowl or the Grey Cup. And as we know, the final lap in any race is the most important. It's the most thrilling, and it's the most exciting part as we anticipate getting to the finish line. But as we continue to watch and wait, as we continue to move towards the finish line, we are encouraged to pray while we wait. We are encouraged to plan while we wait, and we are encouraged to praise God while we wait. Now, over the past few weeks, and again this morning, we've had several testimonials about waiting, and many have talked about patience, about trusting in God, about growing in grace, about exercising our faith and persevering spiritually. And one lesson from Joseph's transformation is that it would be worth it to wait for God to send us the answer. Now imagine what would have been the situation if Joseph had acted hastily and exposed Mary to public disgrace. I think it's fair to say that Joseph was never the same again after his conversation with the messenger of God and his personal encounter with the baby Jesus. So today, we must ask ourselves, can we be like Joseph, a person of character? Can we listen to what God is revealing to us today? Can we trust in God's plan for our lives? And can we be fully obedient to God's will? Now, the angel told Joseph that Jesus will save his people from their sins. And we might consider this Jesus' job description, couldn't we? The father saying, "Son, get out there. Save the people from their sin." Job description, quite direct. And the angel also gave a job description to Joseph. The angel, God's messenger. And we too have a job description as Christians, for God's work does not happen without us. We too have a part to play in God's mission for saving humanity, but we too must be obedient as we place Jesus first in our daily living. Joseph did not rely on his own judgment, but on the wisdom that came through his trust and his faithfulness to the will of God. Joseph had the responsibility to act, and we too have the responsibility to act because our faith and our hope become real through our acts of love and generosity while we wait. And finally, we also could be God's messenger, because we too are invited to share God's message and to tell others about the coming of Christ as we show God's love by the way we live. So, my sisters and brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you today. In the name of God, His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.